This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. Fresh off one of the best weekends, I guess weekends in a long time for Ohio State basketball, but one of the worst weekends in a long time for Ohio State football. But who cares? Because it is basketball season. The basketball hype is real. We're going to talk all about that. Yes, we're going to talk about the game, the Ohio State-Michigan game, which has actually set up a potential Ohio State-Mizzou matchup, which we are all thrilled about the potential of. But I'm sitting here with Joey. We were supposed to do a live show at Butcher's Tap this weekend. We are not doing that because there's no Big Ten championship for Ohio State. However, fast forward a month from now, whatever game Ohio State's in, whatever bowl game, whatever playoff game, go watch it at the Butcher's Tap and watch some basketball games at the Butcher's Tap. Joey, let's start off in a happy mood. You're a little extra happy, excited, nervous than normal about this week's game against Central Michigan?
Yes, Andrew, Central Michigan.
I was quizzing you.
You got me. One for one. Let's go.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've been on Twitter. You guys have seen it. We've joked about it, alluded to it for some time now. But yeah, I'll be on the call this Wednesday for the big time, for the Big Ten Network, live from Columbus, Ohio, as the Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Central Michigan Chippewas. I don't quite know how to feel or what to think. Yes, I've like practiced and had some practice doing it, but this is the official first time.
Get those out.
Yeah, gotta get those out now. But it's exciting. I'm so lucky that I've gotten advice from a lot of our former guests, which is pretty funny. And I'm just excited and ready to go. As we're recording this, 24 hours from now, I'll be in Columbus preparing for the game. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, it's an interesting matchup, but for me personally, you know, it's always been a dream to get to do it. It's always been the goal to do it for a living, and Wednesday's the first step. So we'll see how it goes.
Super excited. You know that I will be tuned in watching, as a lot of people will, but I think I speak for everyone when I say this. Pleasantly surprised with the state of the team thus far going into the game. When me and you found out and told me that you were going to be calling this game, I don't think we necessarily expected, what are they, 6-1 Emerald Coast champs, 5-1, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't think we expected that.
5-1, their only loss being to a top 15 team in the country. It's funny because Robbie Hummel was calling a game last week, and I texted him. I said, is it as empty as I think it is in there? And he said, yes. And I said, all right, well, if they beat Alabama, I'm sure it'll be more full for the Central Michigan game. And he was like, you think? And I was like, I don't know. But now I sit here, and it sure seems like, based on Twitter's reactions, the combo of that and Ohio State losing in football, that a lot of people are as excited about Ohio State as we seem to be. You know, we can talk about projections and where they fit into everything in the Big Ten race and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it's safe to say, I don't think anybody expected them to leave Florida with two incredibly convincing wins. I mean, the Alabama game was never close in the second half, and Santa Clara was never close at all. In both those games, Ohio State looked phenomenal, and there's a couple different things I think we can point to specifically, but to answer your question, Andrew, I don't think in our wildest dreams we thought that, I mean, yeah, 1-1 leaving the Emerald Classic, all right, that's expected. You know, you beat a solid Oregon team, you beat a really solid mid-major Santa Clara team, and you're feeling good about yourself coming into this game, but going 2-0, receiving votes in the AP top 25, which there's an argument that they should be in the top 25, sure, but you take care of business this next week and they will be on Monday. But like, man, you got a nice little homestand coming up with a few games at home. And and teams that you're supposed to beat at home, and the season could be looking up very, very quickly. And I think that I remember the year, 2 years after I graduated, when Ohio State shot up to number two in the country. You know, they beat Kentucky and they beat Villanova and they were winning all these games. You know, even Holtman was like, yeah, this happened a lot quicker than we anticipated. Did we think we were going to be this good someday? Yeah, we thought that that was definitely a possibility. But this quickly, I don't know. I have a feeling he feels a little bit of the same things, where the pieces of the puzzle are all coming together a little quicker than anticipated. And I don't think he's upset about it. That's for sure.
I think we've kind of hit on all of our predictions, with the exception of, I think Zed has been much more effective than Felix by much more than we both expected. I think we both kind of thought at this point in the season, we'd be like, all right, Zed, you know, coming off the bench, little spark, but he's arguably, you know, the second, if not the most important player, with the exception of Bruce Thornton. I've seen games where Bruce has been as good as I thought he was going to be, where he was just absolutely incredible. A&M, Bama, where he was just amazing. And I think it's a little above where you thought Bruce would be right now. And it's, you know, landed right in the middle, which is great. Jameson in the Emerald Coast Classic has been what we both said he would be. Roddy has basically been doing what we said he was going to do after the first few games, where it's like, hey, if he can put together longer spurts of looking like an NBA caliber player, they're going to be really good. The thing I was most impressed with was that they just beat the brakes off of Santa Clara. Cause sometimes you beat Bama in a game like that, and it's like, oh, Santa Clara won a big game. You're hyped. You know, do you really care about winning the Emerald Coast Classic, or do you care about leaving the Emerald Coast Classic with a resume win over Bama? Because I don't think on the resume 5 months from now, 3 months from now, it says Emerald Coast Classic champion, it says win over Bama, and the Santa Clara doesn't affect much. So that was what I was most impressed with, was that it was just like a no questions asked. They are winning this game. Jameson's hitting shots when he needs to. And you're shaking your head. It's bad radio because no one can see you shaking your head. Yes, but we're so in sync right now. And it's so easy to agree when the team is winning versus when they're losing. There's so many different things you could point to for why they're losing, but we're agreeing about why they're winning.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, you're spot on. I think two main takeaways from last year and this year is, like, throw away the records, but, like, you win that game against Alabama, which is awesome, but how do you respond the very next day means a little bit more, maybe, than winning the game against Alabama, right? And they responded in a huge way, took care of business, beat a team you're supposed to beat in a very emphatic way. And I think you're spot on. That told us a lot about this team. The other thing that I think has been very apparent is their defense is taking just a huge step up. You know, field goal percentage is down. Points per game is down. There is a clear emphasis on being more aggressive. You're playing faster on offense, but you got to be more aggressive on defense, and they are. They've been so good on the defensive glass, which was a concern. They have, you know, their assist to turnover ratio is good, but that all comes from defense. I feel like that, like, so much confidence that you get from, you know, from your game in general can be from the defensive end. There's an element of, okay, if you're scoring the ball, you're going to play harder on defense, but it all starts with defense when you're on a Chris Holtman team, and that's been awesome. Shout out Coach Bailey, because he's been a huge, huge help there. I think the three buckets, Andrew, that we'll talk about all year is, and you touched on them all in different ways, is the backcourt, the front court, and the new guys, transfers slash the few freshmen, which is the whole team.
Yeah.
But like I know you're laughing, because that is the whole team, but those buckets, like, you need two out of three, right? Like, you just need two out of three. And I have written down in my notes right here, like, Felix and Zed, they both play 20 minutes a game. That's one center position, right? And as a center position, they're averaging 15 and 12. That's a pretty good player, you know? Like, so you don't need, you know, whether it's Zed averaging, you know, 10 and Felix averaging 5, it doesn't matter, right? 15 and 12 is a really good position, right? The center position is on lockdown. I agree with you. Zed has been unbelievable in his role off the bench. He's been better than Felix. He is going to win sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. He is doing, it's very fun to watch because he is embracing that role, and no one's more excited on the bench than Zedke. The backcourt has been tremendous. I mean, incredible. Against Alabama, they had 52 combined points, Roddy and Bruce, right? I mean, just Bruce has exceeded my expectations since the Texas A&M game. Doesn't mean he's – I'm going to keep saying this, but to keep the chip on his shoulder, because obviously he's listening. Is he NBA lottery pick guard that you need to win the NCAA tournament title? Bruce Thornton yet? No. Could he be there one day? Who knows?
Well, just to have this be more of a conversation than me and you both monologuing, he did against Bama do what you would want a guard to do in the NCAA tournament, what you would want your best player to do in the NCAA tournament, which is score 25 plus and be the best player on the court. So, yes.
The entire game.
So maybe he's not quite consistently at that moment where you're like, this is the guy who can win you any tournament game, but he has already shown that against a top 25 team in the country, and we'll see where Bama is.
He did it twice. Texas and Alabama.
They did lose that game. So he's now shown. So you take that game and you build on it to now showing in a game that you do win against, we'll say a better team just because we want the better win, but we'll say against a better team. So I'm agreeing with you, but I think he's like unbelievable. And I guess it's for good reason.
He's going to go down as one of the best point guards in Ohio State history if he's here for 4 years. There's no doubt about it.
I just don't think he'll have a better game this season than he did against Bama. Because if he does, then it's one of the greatest games
ever in the history
Ohio State history. But actually, if he has a better game, I mean, that was his career high. So if he has a better game than that, it'll obviously be a career game, at least scoring wise. But I mean, if he has a few more 25 plus point games, you're going to be looking at an all time great season from a point guard position for him.
Right. And there's no doubt that he is. We said we hoped, right? There, it was less of like a prediction and more of like us speaking it, like hoping that he'd be an all Big Ten caliber player. But he absolutely is, without a doubt. And the guy who's been even more impressive in a lot of ways is Roddy. I mean, Roddy, I'm trying to think of some nickname for them, like Batman and Roddy, you know, like Bruce Man and Roddy. Like, that's kind of funny, I think. But
yeah,
we can workshop it. I just think about that. But they, you know, they combined for 52 points. But what's so impressive, Bruce is the point guard, but Roddy is a better playmaker and probably a better passer. But like, they just play off each other so well. Their yin and yang is so great. And Roddy's shooting the ball well, and he's so athletic, and he gets to the basket. He's scoring on all three levels. His floater is awesome. He rebounds at such a high level. They've both been so, so good, better than expectations, honestly, almost. And like, their trajectory, if it keeps rising, is awesome. But even if they stay at this level and are consistent, that's enough to win you a lot of games in the Big Ten. And we haven't even talked about the newcomers. We can put the freshmen aside. You know, it was great to see Taysen back out there and playing. I think he'll be a piece to the puzzle. You know, obviously, you're getting a little bit from Devin Royal. He'll keep coming along as the season goes on, and Scottie Middleton's only going to get more comfortable. But you got the Dale Bonner you expected. You got the Jamison Battle you expected down in Florida. And Evan Mahaffey is doing exactly what glue guys need to do, playing defense, rebounding, taking care of the ball. He's got to be able to hit an open shot, and it kind of takes the whole team to another level. But, man, Dale Bonner 5-for-7 from 3 down in Florida in the 2 games. Jamison Battle obviously made 5 threes in the second game alone. But, like, man, it's great to see those two guys because, like, there's an element of comfort that you have to feel, like, and fitting in when you aren't, like – it's clear that Jamison and Dale Bonner both, they don't have this alpha dog mentality where, you know, they're going to get theirs. There's an element of selfishness in a good way. They want to make sure they fit in. Like they care about the team and they want to fit in and they want to play their role to perfection, and they're learning their role. Like Jameson Battle can be a first option, but when he's the second or third option, he's pretty damn good. And Dale Bonner is defending at a high level and making a ton of threes, taking care of the ball. Like, those two guys were so impressive, and you know, it's only up from here. So it was a good weekend if you're an Ohio State basketball fan, maybe not so much football fan.
Yeah. Can I transition that into football? Yay or nay?
You can. There's a couple other things that I almost want to say about the team moving forward, but we could talk football.
I mean, we can just do that and real quickly talk football. What else do you want to say?
I was just going to say, like, we talked briefly about the top 25. Like, it doesn't matter. I feel like they are playing at the level of a top 25 team. But KenPom right now has Ohio State projected to only lose 4 games remaining this year. They're, you know, however you want to look at that. Are they the favorites or, like, how they're projected, right? 2 of the games are on the road where they lose by 1 point. The other 2 are Michigan State and Purdue. So take that for whatever it's worth. They are projected to finish in the top 4 in the Big Ten at number 3 right now. And I do think there's an element of the Big Ten is turning into Purdue and everybody else. And it sure seems like Ohio State fits into that second tier now, right? I mean, with Michigan State, Illinois, us, and maybe like Wisconsin, right? Like, they fit into that tier. And that's what we talked about the ceiling being. And, you know, there's a long way to go. So you think that Ohio State can get even better. I'm just excited to see what's next. It all starts on Wednesday. And, you know, for the nerds that listen to the show and want to hear a little bit of a scouting report about Central Michigan, we'll give it to you in the quote-unquote outro. But unless you have anything to add, Andrew, I feel like we should talk some football.
I want to do a quick devil's advocate just to pump the brakes a little bit. Similar start.
I'm not trying to hype up the team so much. I'm just.
Well, I was doing it too. Similar start to last year, and then you lost to Duke, and then you lost to North Carolina. You started losing the games that you wanted to win, but then there was a close game against Purdue that you should have won. There was a great win in Evanston against Northwestern. So, I mean, we definitely feel better about this team than we did in January of last year's team, which makes it feel even sweeter. But I don't know necessarily overall if you feel better about this team than last year's team, with the exception of obviously there's the KenPom numbers, and you know, they looked better in their losses than they did in Maui and then Duke. But all I'm trying to say is there's a lot of season left, so obviously that's the devil's advocate of only projected to lose 4 more.
I just think that part of my feelings are that they've taken these same guys that have stayed around from last year, this year, have taken their lumps, you know, and like, you know what it's like on a good team, you know what it's like on a bad team. Okay, how can you prevent that, those feelings from happening again? They're a year better, a year wiser, and like, I have confidence that this weekend was a turning point. They've turned the corner, and now there's an expectation to win games that maybe when you were looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, you didn't expect to win. You wanted to win, but you didn't expect to win. And that's a privilege. And I do think that there's a very good chance you look at this weekend as the turning point. If there's a world where Ohio State hovers around the top 15, 25 all year, you're going to look at this weekend and say, okay, they got the offensive confidence they needed from Alabama, and they really proved that they're here to stay against Santa Clara. And all of that is good stuff. You can't complain. So we'll see. You're right, though. A lot of season left, and I'm really not saying this to be overly optimistic. It's just like, I'm saying what other people in the quote-unquote media are saying, right? You think, look at Seth Davis and Jeff Goodman, and even our guy Coach Greenberg at halftime shows of ESPN was saying that Ohio State was one of the winners from the whole weekend. I mean, like, everybody's saying it. It's not just your biased Ohio State Drive the Lane media that's saying it. So I'm just seeing what I saw. And like, what I saw is one of the best backcourts in the Big Ten, and guys that are playing their role to perfection, and a coach that's putting everybody in the right positions to win. And it's very fun to watch.
It is very fun to watch. Am I getting an echo on you right now?
Mm-mm.
All right. It is very fun to watch. A game that was also fun to watch, but not fun to watch at the end, and honestly, it was more stressful than not fun to watch, was the Ohio State football game. I mean, I feel like every game with Ohio State has become stressful to watch or boring to watch. Some of my friends were texting, oh, it's a good game. This is so exciting. Not that exciting when you're stressed and you have live shows depending on the result of the game. But I will say that, I mean, you can say if you want to go into stuff about Ryan Day and all that kind of stuff. I just think that all the different perspectives are very interesting, both pro Ryan Day and anti Ryan Day. And it's like former players are anti Ryan Day, but there's fans that are anti Ryan Day, but there's also fans who are not. There's also players who played for Day that are saying stuff about Ryan Day. There's a lot of stuff. The only thing I will say is I heard people say, oh, well, people were down on Harbaugh, said Harbaugh should get fired, and then look what he did because they let him stay. The devil's advocate to that is before Harbaugh got there, they weren't having the success. Right. They weren't having the success that Ohio State had with Urban, which was only one national championship. So maybe that's overhyped a little bit, but it was also 7-0 against Michigan. But what'd you say?
Like it would be Michigan every year, and every year really a big only championship.
You sounded a little Darth Vader-y there.
Gosh. Any better?
It's a little better.
A little better.
Luke, I am your father. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now you're good.
No, I was just saying that you could look at it as one national championship, but you could also look at it as several wins over Michigan without a loss and
7-0.
And several Big Ten championships, which there's three goals every year: beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, win the national championship. And he was constantly going 2-0 in his first two for two. So listen, we're not here to say Ryan Day should be gone or should stay. All I'll say is if he's fired or leaves, I get it. And if he's still here, I get it. And either way, I will root for him. If he's the Ohio State coach, I will root for him and I'll never say anything bad about him. And if he's not, I understand that you have to beat Michigan. And I get that that's what it is. I don't see a world where he leaves, though. Whether that's a should he, could he, sure, but I don't think he's fired.
So I'm glad you clarified what you were going to say, because I'm actually going to say an interesting point. I think there's 0% chance that the headline that comes out is Ryan Day fired. I do think there's a chance that he's not the coach next year for a variety of different things that happen. It goes to the NFL or he goes to a different school. Now the A&M job is already, that's not happening. Then that was probably fake bullshit anyway. But I do think that there is a small chance that he's not at the school next year. But I will say, in my opinion, I think 100% chance the headline, if he's not at the school next year, is not going to be Ryan Day fired.
They part ways.
I don't even think it'll be part ways. I think it'll either be framed as he is leaving. Even if they fire him, they will not let that leak. And I do
that's what they did for Mata. So,
and I do think another thing that will happen is with Gene Smith leaving, their stuff will come up like, oh, well, the new AD, he didn't hire Ryan Day, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. If he loses to Michigan again and all that, because I've seen that happen. Yes, Mizzou is different. It's not Ohio State, but that's the type of dialogue that starts when there's a new AD.
There's definitely an element of this new AD could come in and say, this is my show and this is not my guy. And it is what it is. But if I'm Ryan Day, how can you not consider, you know, everyone's talking about the Texas, how can you not consider taking a $10 million job to not coach at Ohio State right now? Yeah. You know, and if I can't argue against him leaving, but I also can't argue with him saying, you know what, I need to face the music and face these demons and beat Michigan. That's what I was hired to do. I can't leave here without doing that. So, you know, we'll see what happens. A lot, you know, the worst thing that can happen is when the new AD comes in and goes, Ryan Day's our guy. Then, you know, he's gone. So
done. But also last thing, and we don't need to rag on the football team because there's some great parts of the football team and this basketball podcast, but Kyle McCord, couple mistakes that were costly. The left guard or the right guard, I forget which one it was, got beat. McCord got drilled. People are saying, oh, look how open Harrison was. That's a touchdown. If the guard doesn't, or the tackle doesn't, you know, blow his assignment. I never believe that stuff because there's always a defender that could go the other way once he sees the ball in the air when there's those bullshit pictures. So I'm just going to leave.
He did look wide open in that picture, though.
He did look wide open in that picture, but there is a defender right there that just like would have to run for half a second. And
yeah.
But we've seen Harrison beat the defense and get wide open touchdowns. So he didn't in that game.
Let me ask you this, Andrew, last question.
Well, all I was going to say is I do not think Ryan Day comes back with Kyle McCord as his starter next season.
My question was, I'll rephrase the question based on how you just said. Clearly your answer to this is no. My question would have been, is there a world where Ryan Day and Kyle McCord are both at Ohio State next year? It seems like the answer to that is no. The answer,
I think, but I don't think not with McCord as the starter.
But if you're Kyle McCord and you're not starting, why are you at Ohio
State? It just depends when that decision is made. If Day is like, oh, I'm going to go with McCord because he thinks
if Arch Manning and Aaron Nolan are both on the roster next year, I don't think Kyle McCord is on
gone.
The roster.
But yeah. if they don't get a transfer and they just are like acting like he has a chance to win the job,
then he can do the backup.
Then I think there's a chance. But when's the last time an Ohio State quarterback was, and he wasn't even that bad, but when's the last time an Ohio State quarterback was this bad for a full season, stats-wise, I guess?
Like losing 86.
Right. Like, when's the last time that bad, and then was the starter next year?
It's not a knock on Kyle McCord. Well, it is, but, like, he is literally the worst Ohio State quarterback that I could ever remember. It doesn't mean he's bad compared to other quarterbacks in college football. It just compared to the JT Barrett's, Cardale Jones, CJ Stroud, Dwayne Haskins of the world.
But I also think there's probably 15 or so quarterbacks in college football this year that if they're on Ohio State, not that they could have been, but if they are on Ohio State, they probably win the national. They're definitely, I guess it's hard to say this because they were one touchdown away from beating Michigan and basically being in the playoff because Iowa's projected to score 6.5 points. That's the over-under against Michigan. But I think there's 15-plus quarterbacks that you could argue, and maybe zero of them in the Big Ten, but 15-plus quarterbacks across the country that you could argue gives Ohio State a better chance to win that game.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it sucks to think about that, but it's true. You look at the top 10 in the country right now, if you swap their quarterback, like – I mean, obviously, like the Bo Nixes and Michael Penix of the world, but even like I'm blanking on the name of the Mizzou quarterback, and that's not
Brady
like
Cook. Even Brady Cook.
And I'm not saying even Brady Cook because that's mean to Brady Cook, but if Brady, like,
you're saying even the Missouri quarterback is what you're saying,
yes.
Basically.
Even Andrew Zolden's rooting interest quarterback. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I do think that the Ohio State's offseason will revolve around three things, talking about Michigan, as always. Slash, will Jim Harbaugh even be there anymore? And then who's the quarterback going to be and who's the head coach going to be? Hopefully one of the answers is quickly Ryan Day is staying or gone, which I don't want him gone. Again, clearly don't want him gone. But, like, man, like, can we start the Arch Manning to Ohio State speculation now? Like, I'm so down for that.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Before we get to that, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you want to wrap us up with some Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Speaking of Michigan, give us the Central Michigan scouting report.
Andrew can
wait,
see my.
Also, last thing. Am I going to have to say beat insert team?
No rooting interest. So, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Andrew can see my sheets right here. Do they look good, Andrew?
Oh, they look beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you. A little bit about Central Michigan quickly. Head coach, Tony Barbie, third year there. He was a player at UMass under Calipari, was an assistant coach at Kentucky under Calipari, and then head coach for Auburn and UTEP. And last year, they beat Michigan, which Ohio State football can't do, which is pretty cool. They beat Michigan in basketball, the Chippewas did. Then they had a bunch of injuries happen, kind of derailed their season. They lost three guys to the transfer portal, or three high major transfers, two high major, one mid major. They lost three big transfers, one within the conference to Kent State, one to Oregon, one to Wake Forest. That being said, they have 12 new players this year. A lot of transfers. Their two best players are their starting backcourt, Anthony Pritchard and Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor has averaged like 20-7 over the last few games. Anthony Pritchard averages 15-5-5. Their center is from Canada, and he's pretty good. But other than that, they don't have a ton going on. They play about 10 guys, and on offense, they play five out and the big man sets ball screens, or they play four out, one in, they look to throw it in the post. And on defense, they play really aggressive and they overhelp and give up wide open layups and wide open threes a lot. They turn the ball over 15 times a game, which is a lot. They basically have the reverse of Ohio State assist to turnover ratio, which is not good. They're a solid team though. They play really hard, which has been evident in watching their games. And I love that they're the Chippewas, and I can be like, fire up chips during the game if they do something good, which is cool to say. Row the boat when PJ Fleck was there. So that's all I got.
I think that's a great report. You're going to do great. It's funny you mentioned PJ Fleck. I was actually thinking about him the other day, that 3 years ago, if this stuff was happening with Ohio State, he would have been a hot name to look out for to Ohio State, but that is irrelevant. The last thing I will say is, if you don't sneak a Marcus Keene mention
into the
broadcast. Yeah, if you don't sneak that in,
I'm going to add to it right now. Put Marcus Keene. What year was it that he led the country in scoring?
I want to say 18, but I'm not sure.
Double check real quick.
Marcus Keene. This is a deep cut, by the way, for those Josh Schaffners out there still listening. He averaged in 2016-2017 an even 30 points per game. And he shot 10 threes a game. 10.6, almost 11. I think you need to say the buckle up part, by the way. Are you adding now plays every summer for sideline cancer and TBT?
No. But I'll put TBT legend.
All right, let's hear it. Reverse.
All right, I hope you enjoyed our episode talking about Ohio State being losers in football and winners in basketball. And with that being said, I think there's nothing more to say than buckle up. And do I say the second part too? No, I thought you said, all right. There's nothing more to say than buckle up and drive the lane.
And go Buckeyes and beat the Chippewas.